Amen, and give thanks for all the glory that he has done. Can I give a big amen for this? Make sure I got a proper mic check. Unfortunately, I think the mic was working fine to my little, I just got to make sure whenever I keep this mic hot, I got to keep it muted some kind of way. But anyway, I'm glad that you're here. You know, it's good to see y'all smiling faces again, or your frowning faces, or your messed up hairdos, or whatever it may be. I don't know, but I'm glad to see y'all here. It is Friday night, and as we always know, it is another night for us to gather together for a message. Again, it was laid on my heart. I'm looking forward because, as I told some of you, this message is an overflow from last week's message. I mean, when I started the message on murmuring and complaining, it was just going on and on and on and on and on. You know, even Abby kind of suggested maybe I'll start doing a series because I can still keep going on with this thing. But, you know, again, I'm going to go in this direction and we're going to see how it's going to go. I want all of us to welcome Hope. She joined the server, so let's give her a warm Christian amen and let her know that we welcome her here. So it's always good to see new people wanting to join and participate with us in fellowship. So those of you who had the luxury of being here, and plus I record this and I do upload it on my sermon site, you know, for people to listen to. So there's some who don't make it. We had some that were coming in here. They kind of told me, well, you know, they're kind of busy. They got some things going on and I'm not going to force them, you know. Hey, that's up to them. You know, they do whatever God leads them to do. But I wish they would come here, but I can understand because of time zone differences. But, you know, we are an American server, unfortunately, and that's why it's hard for people overseas to join at this time period. So, but if you were fortunate enough, and I say fortunate enough, but maybe if you were blessed enough to be in last week's message or heard it, I mentioned to us that we're all familiar with the word complain. And I've been giving a lot of thoughts to this since I wrote this, because this actually was written last week. And I've been giving a lot of thoughts to the word complain because, again, in last week's message, you know, reviewing it, watching it, listening to it, because, yes, I do listen to my own message. I come back the following day or a few days later and listen to them, you know. And a lot of times I read over them as I'm listening to it. But, you know, when I thinking about the word complain, and I told you last week that it meant to express dissatisfaction, pain, regret, discontent, uneasiness, resentment, or grief, and plus many more. It means to find fault and accuse someone. It's grumbling. It's whining. It's murmuring, it's protesting, and every other word that could be used to express dissatisfaction or discomfort. And I found this story, you know, to kind of tie this up, you know, because I always look for illustrations in my sermons. I found a story of Daniel Webster, and he wanted to give a person the impression that he remembered him, but could not recall his name or where they had met before. He would ask, "Well, how is the old complaint?" And 9 times out of 10, this worked. That person would begin to unfold some grievances or complaints or grumblings they had discussed with Mr. Webster on former occasions, and thereby identified himself eating up, remembering them. Sometimes, my friends, it seems we would have nothing to say if we didn't have something to complain about. And I'm going to stop right there real quick because, again, I used to know a lot of people, and I'm going to be honest with you, I used to be afraid to ask them, "Hey, how are you doing?" 9 times out of 10, whenever I ask them that, they start to complain. Murmuring and grumbling and all that, and I started to think, wow, I should have never opened up my mouth. I should have never asked them how they're doing, but I'm just trying to be polite. But, you know, I'm sure that you have run across people like that too, when you say, "Hey, how you doing today? How was your day?" And what you get most times, 9 times out of 10, complaints. Negative mindset complaints. Sadly to say, I hate to say it, mainly from a lot of Christians. Now, you might be sitting here hearing this and thinking, wow, Jim, I don't know if that sounds good or not. Well, I'm sorry to tell you this, but yes, pay attention. Especially pay attention to yourself. Because since I preached that message, I'm going to tell you straight up, as I told you, it hit me to my core. It hit me to my spiritual core to realize, was I grumbling? Was I murmuring? Was I complaining? And guess what? I found me a rude surprise. Wow. I think I better tighten up and straighten that up. I think I better tighten up and clean that mess up. But back to what I was saying, whenever you always talk to a Christian, hey, how's it going? Well, you know, my cat died. I had a flat. You know, I couldn't pay my light bill. I went hungry. Everybody I talk to, they seem to hate me. They don't love me. You know, this. And, you know, by the time 15, 20 minutes of it, you kind of think in your mind, oh, my goodness, what did I just open up here? But see, folks, it seems we wouldn't have nothing to say if we didn't have something to complain about. See, we complain everywhere we go. And I'm guilty of this. We complain when we're in line at the store. We complain when we're waiting at the doctor's office. We complain when we're driving in our own car. We complain at work. We complain to church members and even times to the pastor. And sometimes you even complain when you're on vacation. What we now see in this world, my friends, and as of late, we've been seeing more of it. We've been seeing a tendency to complain. Complain, complain, complain. Turn on the news. Turn on the radio. Go on your Facebook accounts. Go into chat rooms. You ain't got to go very far. You're going to hear complaints. Grumbling. Murmuring. Belly aching. Crying. Why is this? So those of you who have your Bibles, it will be posted for you. If you got your Bibles, we're going to 1 Corinthians. Whoops. Let me hold on. I better get my Bible out. See how I'm more focused on the message. I don't even have my Bible out ready to read. But she had posted for me. It's going to be 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. I mean, chapter 10, verse 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 through 11. And I'll get there real quick, and I apologize for that. You see, I'm slipping, you know, so. I'm slipping. I ain't going to complain, but I'm slipping. I need to start paying more better attention. But, all right. Starting in verse 1, my friends. Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers were under the cloud, all passed through the sea. All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. All ate the spiritual food. All drank the same spiritual drink. They drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was Christ. But with most of them, God was not well pleased, for their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Now these things became our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. And do not become idolaters, as some of them, as is written, the people sat down to eat and drank and rose up to play. Nor let us commit sexual immorality, as some of them did, and in one day 23,000 fell. Nor let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed by serpents. Nor complain, as some of them also complain. And look at the scary part. And were destroyed by the destroyer. Now, all these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our abomination, upon who the ends of ages have come. That's a harsh warning, my friends. Let us pray. Well, gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you tonight, we ask of you to, for a short little time as we gather together to hear this message. And Father, first of all, I'm always asking you to forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious glory. Forgive me of my sins. Because, Father, again, if I stand here before these folks and stand here before you and make a claim that I do not sin, I end up making you a liar. And we know that's not true. I do sin. And it happens. I don't practice sinning, but it happens. But I'm thinking more of you now and asking of you to give me the wisdom, the knowledge, and the strength to start doing better. And, Father, I ask of you to forgive me where I have fallen short of your precious, precious glory. I ask of you to anoint those who are here tonight, Father. Again, they could have been elsewhere. They could have been watching TV, listening to the radio, doing their own little thing. But they decided to come here for whatever reason. You drew their hearts here. And Father, again, I'm not standing here to impress them. I'm not standing here to show them how well I can preach. I'm not standing here saying I am a good preacher. Father, far be it from me to even brag on this because all this comes from you. But I ask of you to bless those who are here. They showed up tonight. They wanted to hear this message, speak to their hearts, and guide them. And Father, there are some that's struggling. Some's having a hard time. Some just having difficult times. Some is needing your grace. Some needing your guidance. Some is needing your wisdom. Some are needing everything from you. Touch their hearts. Guide them. Let them know you are with them and you can help them. And show us the path we must walk. And Father, with all these things going on in this world, we know that you are a sovereign God. We know that you got all things covered. We know that you can take care of all things. We should worry and fret not, because again, you have it under control. So we thank you, we love you, we praise you and honor you in everything that we say. In Jesus' name we all say, amen. And y'all know I had to get a sip of water. Now, y'all have seen the bot flash the message over and over. But I always put titles to my message. And, you know, that's what I say. And that kind of opened up a can of worms because, you know, like I said, I never dug into murmuring and complaining. I mean, I kind of skimmed through some of it in some of my studies. And I kind of did some short messages with some deacons and stuff like that. But never a full-blown message. And when I did that, the Holy Spirit, man, just kind of took off with it. But I do title this message tonight, and it's a follow-up from last week's message, but I titled this message, Crybabies Who Complain. Now, I was going to play the song, I Cry If I Want To, I Cry If I Want To, It's My Party. But I found that, well, that was kind of corny if I would have done that, you know. I mean, Lisa said, you know, I do try to find songs fitting to the message, you know. If we was in church, I would talk to my worship leader and said, okay, look, this is the message I'm going to preach on, you know, this is what it's going to be about, kind of sing the songs that would follow in through it to set the tone and set the mood. So that's why I do that, you know. I stop the song and I play the opening song that kind of alludes to the message, you know. But this message is cry babies who complain. And as we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 1 through 11, Paul tells us in the passage that we just revealed, one of the lessons we ought to learn from Israel's mistakes, because he is talking about Israel. When you read that passage and you read through it, and if you're a note taker or whatever, I mean, write down that passage, but Paul is addressing the mistakes Israel made. And one of the mistakes they had made, believe it or not, was, can somebody beat me to the punch? What was one of the mistakes Israel made? Murmuring. Complaining. And that's correct. They were murmuring and they were complaining. So let's examine the reasons why they complain. And pay close attention to this. Let's examine the reason why they complain and see how it cost them of God's potential blessings. And folks, I want to warn you, if you're one of these folks, if you're doing the same thing, be very careful, because it cost Israel their blessings. The same can happen to you. They were destroyed. God will not let you be unprotected. He will allow you to be destroyed, because it's very serious. And I think you will understand when I get through with this message, because I will hit on it a little bit more. But here we're going to look at some things, what happened to Israel and how it costed them. The first thing, what Israel did and what was wrong with them, Israel complained when times got rough. They complained when times got rough. And if you really go into the Bible and you look at it and study it, if you go into the book of Exodus, mainly chapter 15, and read all through that chapter, and go into chapter 16 and read through that chapter also, but you can also go all the way back to chapter 11 to verse 16 and on, but you see it throughout Exodus within those little chapters right there, you will find out they complained because their water was bitter. Bad enough, they complained they were hungry. Bad enough, they complained, we're going to die out here in the wilderness. They complained they were tired. In other words, folks, they cried like babies because things were not going right for them as they saw fit. Now, did you catch that? They cried like babies because things was not going right for them as they saw fit. Well, at this point, let me tell you something. They found out real quick that going to the promised land idea wasn't as easy as it thought. Sadly, many Christians today think going to the promised land for them is going to be easy. Hate to pop your bubble, but it's not. It's not. You see, at every bad turn and disappointment, they complained and complained and complained. And these complaints arose because of one thing. They arose because of one thing. They did not believe in God. That's why they were complaining. They didn't believe in God. Now, I don't know about you, you know, man, if I seen a big fire pillar coming down from heaven at night, and a windstorm, a cloud of day, the opening of the Red Sea, manna falling from heaven, water coming out of a rock, and then the rock followed him, which we know was Jesus, not a literal rock. I think I wouldn't have no reason to complain. I'd be fearful. Wow. But these folks complained. Look at Psalms chapter 106. Verse 24 through 25 says, Psalms chapter 106, 24 to 25, and it says this, and then they despised the pleasant land. They did not believe his word, but complained and bellyache in their tents, and I'm improvising there a little bit, and did not heed to the voice of the Lord. Wow. And the main reason for this, they didn't believe God when he told them he would take care of them. They didn't believe God when he told them he would bring them into the promised land. See, when our lives get tough, when it gets really, really tough, we too may complain because we do not believe God can do what his word says he can do. That's right. We often complain because we don't believe God can do what he says he can do. We often gripe. We worry. We complain about life. And folks, we shouldn't do this. You and I, as born-again believers, we shouldn't do this. Because look what Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, 26 says about this. Look what it says. And it says this. And this is Jesus himself speaking, folks. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, than the body, more than clothing? Wow. Wow. And yet we complain because look what it says. Look at the birds of the air. For neither they sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father, folks, feeds them. Are you not more value than they? Come on, friends. I think we have more value than the birds. They don't. You don't see a bird on a tree going, oh, I don't know if I'm going to have any bird seed to eat today. You don't see birds saying, oh, Charlie, my feathers is falling off because I don't know where I'm going to eat. No, you see them flying around. They're happy as and cool as a cucumber, and they're provided for. But yet we complain. We complain. And folks, what this is telling us, we should not worry nor complain about life. We shouldn't. Are you sitting here right now today, tonight? Are you in a chair in a nice home? Do you have water or either some kind of liquid refreshments to drink? Or are you going to eat tonight? And yet we complain because we're not grateful for what we have. My friends, hard times are no excuse for us to be complaining. Because if we truly believe in God and what his word says, we will not feel the need to complain. We will feel the need to pray and give thanks. Everything that you and I have right now, we should not be complaining. We should feel the need to pray to our Heavenly Father and give thanks. I just ate me some Doritos a little while ago. Thank you, Father. He allowed me to have those Doritos. I got a glass of water right here. Thank you, God. Did I complain about those little Doritos? No. Did I complain about this water? No. Did I complain today? Yeah. You see what I'm talking about? Folks, we complain. We complain, 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 complain. You see, someone once said this, and I forgot where I found this, but someone once said, when we are in deep water, it's generally a good idea to keep your mouth shut. When you're in deep water, my friends, it's usually a good idea to keep your mouth shut. Folks, complaining is only going to make a bad situation worse. Believe and trust in what God's words says. Now we come to the second reason Israel complained. They complained because, and this is a no-no, they complained because they look back. They complained because they looked back. And again, we see here, they hit a rough spot. But this time, they looked back. And when they did, they remembered the good things about Egypt. They had food to eat. But notice, they were quick to forget the bad things that happened there. When they saw the reward of the promised land was growing hazy in their minds, they started to complain. See, they thought it was going to be easy. But no, they complained. See, they thought things was going to be real easy, and once they started their journey, they found out, and they began to understand how hard it was going to be. Many would have rather taken the easy way out or go back to what it once was. Bottom line here, they were complaining about God. And be warned, you and I be warned, if we complain that God cannot do what he says he can do, we place ourselves in a very bad position with him. If we start complaining to God, God, I don't think you can do what your word says it can do, you're putting yourself in a bad position. How many Christians you know that would rather go back to the old ways because they think, hey, life was more easy for me back then? People often complain when they look back. Why? People often complain when they look back. Why? The reason is because they have lost sight of the progress that God made in their lives. Christians today look back because they have lost sight of the progress God's made in their lives. That's a cold, hard fact. We also may complain when the Christian walk grows hard. Look what Luke chapter 9, verse 62 says about this. And Jesus said to him, no one. I mean, he's straight up on this, folks. He said, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, whoo, is fit for the kingdom of God. Woo. You see the stark, hard contrast and warning of that scripture? Folks, Jesus is not beating around the bush. And I'm not trying to put myself on the pedestal, but I thank you folks for exhorting me, praying for me, lifting me up. And I thank you for appreciating that I am a type of preacher who does not beat around the bush and what he has to say and how he preaches. And even when I talk to you personally, I tell you straight up just exactly how it is. And this is what Jesus himself just now said to all those folks who were listening. Once you put your hands on that plow and you said you're going to move forward, but you keep looking back, folks, you're not worth it for the kingdom of God. Let that sink in. So when you look back after you start plowing, guess what? You get crooked lines. When you look back after becoming a Christian, you get crooked lives. And by this, I mean, folks, when we complain about how things used to be, we fail to see the growth and the changes he has made in our lives. When you do that, then you lose sight of the main goal. That's right, you lose sight of the main goal. The third reason Israel complained, I've seen a lot of folks do this. The third reason they complained is they didn't get what they wanted. Kind of sound like old Rolling Stones song, is it? You know, I can't get no satisfaction. You don't always get what you want, something like that. But Israel complained because they did not get what they wanted. Look what Numbers chapter 11, verse 4 through 6 says about this. And it says, now the mixed multitude of who were among them yielded to intense cravings. So the children of Israel also wept again and said, who will give us meat to eat? We remember the fish which we ate freely in Egypt, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now look at a whole being is dried up. There's nothing at all except this manna before our eyes. Don't you wish you can just slap them upside the head? What? Whoa, whoa. Man, you got all that manna before you're coming down from heaven? And you're complaining because you didn't get what you want? Wow. You see, it was not they were lacking food. It was because they were lacking the kind of food they wanted. Now, I don't know about you, but quite a few times I have gone to McDonald's and I ordered me, you know, I used to like the quarter pounder with cheese value meal, you know, with fries and a nice little cold drink. And quite a few times, because, you know, we go through takeout and then we get home, we open up the bag, guess what's in the bag? It's usually some chicken nuggets or a Happy Meal. Like, whoa, wait a minute. This ain't what I wanted. My wife will look at me and say, boy, shut up and eat what you got. Yes, ma'am. You see, folks, they complained because they wanted food, and God gave them food, but it wasn't what they wanted. Wow. You see, again, it was not because they were lacking food, because, again, they were lacking what they really wanted. And with this, they complained because, again, they were getting tired of God's blessings. That was the main deal. They complained because they were getting tired of God's blessings. Have you ever thought about that? And how many times, and you think about this, how many times have you and I been blessed by God and still found something to complain about? How many times? How many times you've been blessed by God, but yet you still found something to complain about? Sometimes we complain when God doesn't give us what we think or deserve. We start acting like a little kid, you know, throwing a hissy fit, a little pout, or we fall on the floor. Really? You better stop that whining. You see, folks, if we do not get what we want, we should not complain. Instead, we should be thankful for what God has given us. When was the last time you thanked God for what He has given you? When was the last time? The fourth reason Israel complained is, are you ready for this? The fourth reason Israel complained was they were sick of God's leadership. They complained because they were sick of God's leadership. Look what Numbers chapter 12, verse 1 through 6 says. Numbers chapter 12, verses 1 through 6. Then Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman whom he had married. For he had married an Ethiopian woman. So they said, well, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses, he was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. But then suddenly the Lord said to Moses and Aaron and Miriam, come out! Come out, you three. Come out to the tabernacle of the meeting. Come out. You want to complain to me because you're sick of my leadership? I'm fixing to tell you something, Jack. I'm paraphrasing that a little bit. So the three came out. Then the Lord came down. Oh, look now. And the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood in the door of the tabernacle and called Aaron and Miriam, and they both went forward. Then he says, hear now my words. If there's a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. Not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. I speak with him face to face, even plainly and not in dark sayings. And he sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? So the anger of the Lord was aroused against them, and he departed. God just, boom, left. Now we think, whoa, wait a minute here. I mean, God gets mad? Oh, yes, he does. Oh, he gets mad big time. And if you keep complaining, murmuring, and bellyaching, and crying, and whining, and running around like a crybaby, I guarantee you, you're going to find the Spirit of the Lord may sometimes go quiet on you, and you start crying, where are you, Holy Spirit? Where are you? How come I don't hear you no more? What's going on? Well, you better check yourself, because if you're complaining, bellyaching, murmuring, and carrying on like the flesh, then don't expect the Holy Spirit to do what he's supposed to do in you. Because just like then God came down, he told those people straight up, you complain, fine, I'm out of here. Keep complaining. Keep carrying on. Keep running to others. Keep the score. Keep gossiping. Keep doing everything. And you're going to find out why God is not speaking to you very, very quick. And then we see, by reading in these passages, several things happen. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses' marriage in an attempt to discredit him as a leader. That's what they were attempting to do. And see, his family, that was his family, they should have been helping him, supporting him, standing by his side, standing up for him. But instead, they turned against him. How many has turned against you when you were standing up as a leader, when you were serving God or doing God's will? But look what the worst thing that's happened. And because of complaining, Miriam became leprous, white as snow. Miriam became leprous. You don't think God is going to get very angry with you? You keep complaining and allow bad things to happen to you in your life? You better think quick. You better get on your knees and beg God. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I've been complaining and bellyaching and murmuring and saying things about people and lies and everything else that you hate and despise. And Lord God, things is falling apart in my life. You better repent. And you better beg God not to get angry against you. You better beg. And if you read further in Numbers, we also see they thought they can do the job just as well. How many thought they can do better rather than submitting to the leadership appointed by God? How many rises up against a pastor in a church, a deacon, Sunday school teachers, evangelists, missionary folks? How many rise up against them? Do you not realize when you do so, they were appointed by God? And just as we saw back in the Old Testament time, folks, I'm going to tell you something right now. The same happens today, whether you want to believe it or not. Many are sick of God's leadership. And yes, they are. They are sick of it. Oh, Pastor, we don't like your preaching. We don't like that fire and brimstone stuff. Pastor, we don't like you, you know, talking about sin. We don't care for you talking about hell. We don't care for you talking about God's wrath. We don't like those kind of sermons. You need to speak to us like we need to feel good. That we don't need to know all that stuff. Guess what they're doing when they say that? They're murmuring. They're complaining to him. And if they're complaining to him, they're complaining against God's man. And people often turn from God's leadership when they no longer want his will to be done in their lives. Instead, they want their own will to be done, theirs. And sadly, many Christians turn away from God. They turn away from God's words, and they turn away from living a righteous life so they can have their religion as they see fit. Oh, homosexuality was only about back then, but that doesn't apply today. we can have sex outside of marriage because that don't apply today. We don't want to hear that we're going to hell because that no longer applies because hell does not exist. You see what I'm saying? They want their religion their way. And with this, there are some who still attack God's servants to discredit those who want to hold on to the truth of his words or who are in leadership roles. They are the ones who do not want to follow the leadership of God's authority according to his will. Instead, they will complain or grow sick of his leadership. Here's an old story. A farmer advertised a frog farm for sale. See, I got that right because I was going to get tongue twisted on that one. But he advertised a frog farm for sale. Say that real quick 3 times. But he advertised claiming that he had a pond full of frogs, was fully stocked with the best bullfrogs ever. And a prospective buyer, he appeared. And he was taken late one evening to the pond that he might hear the frogs. The music made so favorable an impression on the buyer, the sale was made that night. Soon afterwards, the purchaser, he was man in a hurry. You know, he wanted to get those frogs. So he proceeded to drain the pond in order to catch and market all the frogs. And lo and behold, to his surprise, when the water was drained out of the pond, he found that all that noise has been made by one old bullfrog. All that noise was made by one old bullfrog. Sometimes, my friends, it seems like they are major problems. But often, it's just about complaints of a few bullfrogs. So folks, we must not complain about God's ways and God's leadership. It is your place and my place and everyone else's place to obey and not to change the word of God. We are to obey and not change God's words. So in closing, I'm going to leave y'all with this. If you get anything out of this message, please, folks, if you got to, listen to it again, but if not, pay attention to the closing remarks. And what I want you to understand, one thing clearly, complaining, my friends, is a characteristic of the world. That should not be in a Christian's life. It should not be. We live in a world that has completely rejected God and therefore abides in a state of unthankfulness. Many homes and work environments have a culture of grumbling and complaining. Now, however, for Christians, my friends, as I just said, this should not be true. This should not be true. God has called us not only not to complain, but to be thankful in all things. We are to be thankful in all things, my friends. We shouldn't be complaining. We should be joyful. We should be happy. We should be giving praise and glory and honor to his name. But instead, we complain. I want you to understand one thing, and one thing only. I didn't realize this till I started this message myself. I don't think all of us has truly, truly understood 100% and meditated on Israel's wilderness experience. I don't think we have. We read through it so many times, yes. But I don't think we really sat down there 100% truly meditated on their wilderness experience. We need to do everything, folks. We need to do everything we can to avoid complaining. We need to do everything we can do to avoid complaining. And one of these things that we can learn from Israel's wilderness wanderings is that complaining is incompatible with our salvation. Again, let me repeat that. Complaining is incompatible with your salvation. We must understand. We must understand 100%. We must understand that complaining is not a little sin. It's a big one. Y'all going to get into that when y'all get into the sixth chapter of Proverbs. Six things, but no, seven that God hates. One is discord, lying, murmuring, and quite a few other things. See, it didn't hit me till I went through Proverbs just recently. I cannot tell you how many times I have read through the Bible. I cannot tell you how many times I have read through those passages. Okay. But then when researching all this, it fell on me like a ton of bricks. Oh, no. No. God, I'm doing that. Oh, no. Please forgive me. Please. So what we must do, what you and I should be doing, we need to do what Philippians chapter 2, verse 14 says. Philippians chapter 2, verse 14. And it says this. I think y'all, some of y'all might know the verse. Do all things without complaining and disputing. Do all things without complaining or disputing. So next time you go order a quarter pound of value meal and you get a happy meal, don't complain. Give thanks. You still got something to eat. How many people out there don't? Because if we, as God's children, are always complaining, it only does several things. And they are. The first thing, when we are constantly complaining, murmuring and complaining, the first thing that it does, we are saying, in a sense, we lack trust in God. Think about that. If we're constantly complaining, we lack trust in God. Second, if we're constantly complaining, because we see a failure to see good in our lives. We fail to see the good in our lives. The third thing that does to us when we're constantly complaining is our attitudes is always selfish. It's about me. Me, me, me. When was the last time that you placed yourself below someone else and thought of them more than you thought of yourself? When was the last time you fed somebody out of the blue? When was the last time you gave a cup of water to someone? When was the last time you took the time to speak to a person? When was the last time you say, look, can I pray for you? When? Most of the times we just got an attitude because we're selfish. And the fourth thing that it does to us when we're always complaining, because we have a desire to go our own way. That's right. We want to go our way, not God's way. Because God usually shows us where to go. He usually speaks to us and he usually, you know, has some kind of confirmation showing you where you must go, what you must do. Guess what many do? They decide to go their way. Folks, please be careful of your conduct as I just examined my own heart. Be careful of your conduct because complaining is a sin. No ifs, no buts, sin. and it can lead to your destruction. As we read earlier, destroyed by the destroyer. And if we are doing so, if you are complaining, if you're belly aching, if you're murmuring, if you're posting things all over Facebook, blogs, and everything else, and constantly complaining instead of praising Jesus, then let me tell you something right now. We need to stop it. Stop it. Do you hear me? Stop it. You are in danger of destroying yourself if you're constantly complaining. And if you are, correct it. Correct it. But last but not least, and I'll leave you with this. Let's thank God tonight for all that He has done for us. And let's tell Him, God, we love you. And let's tell Him, God, we appreciate you for what you have done for me. And let's tell Him, God, you are in my heart. And let's tell Him, God, this day forward, I'm going to place all of my trust in you. I'm going to give all my trust in you. I'm going to live like we're supposed to live. I'm going to try to be an example of Jesus Christ. I am going to follow Christ, and I'm going to do what the Word says to do. I need to stop all this silly nonsense and get right with you. I hadn't heard from you in a while, and probably this is why. Because I've been constantly complaining. And remember this, most important. Please, please, remember this most important. When you start to grumble, learn to be humble. You get that? When you start to grumble, learn to be humble. Amen. Let's pray.